I greet you this morning with the words the Apostle Paul uses, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." I'd like to welcome each and every one of you this morning to the worship service. We're in the time just before Christmas. It's an exciting time where we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's also an opportunity for us to share the gospel with the people around us, and not just the people that where we're sitting here in church, but the people that we meet on the street, the people that we meet when we're going into the stores. It's an opportunity for us to share the gospel with them. I'd like to read John chapter 1, verse 11 to 14. We read there, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Friends, this is the season that we're celebrating this. And it's important that it's not only with words that we celebrate this, not just with singing, but with our hearts and with willing to share the gospel to those around us. This morning, Brother Wes Hebner will be sharing the message with us this morning. It's a treat to have him here from Texas, him and his family. But before we get into the message and we're first singing in the message, let's bow for a word in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we ask that your love would fill our hearts and that your presence be with us as we worship you this morning. There's a feeling of peace within us, knowing that you sent your Son to redeem all who believe, and you did this out of your great love for us people. Help us to look inside our hearts this morning and ask ourselves if we are truly proclaiming that Christ is Lord of our lives, not just an outward appearance to be seen by others, but rather as an inward attitude that defines who we are. May we be true ambassadors for you during the coming days and weeks, and help us to remember the holy gift given to each one of us, our Savior, Jesus Christ. This we pray in his most precious name. Amen. We'll continue with some singing.
From the Red Book, number 77, Blessed Christmas Time. Number 77.
Number 76, the sun is now risen. Number 76.
The sun has now risen in heaven. Good morning and welcome to church. I hope you're glad to be here. I am glad to be here. This is where I grew up. I'm blessed to have my Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, pastors in attendance today, not all of them, but God is good. If you grew up in a Christian family, your parents loved you, put food on the table, you are like in the top 5% in the world. Be thankful. I teach in a public school in Seminole, Texas, and life is very, very different in the world today. And what people see and what people go through and the media we see and the media we have in the world today, and we're so blessed to be in church, to have a godly heritage. Never forget that. I want to share a little bit about the Gospel Message Radio program to start with. My name is Wes Heppner. I'm the pastor for the Gospel Message Radio. Doesn't make me special. Just makes me serve a wonderful God who gives people gifts and who gives people opportunities to serve Him, to grow in Him, and to be able to share the gospel with different people. I don't know, how many of you listen to the Gospel Message Radio program? Maybe I should start with that. So the message will be in English. We have a 30-minute message once a week that's in Low German. Then we also have a 15-minute message every week that's in English. And so our goal, we have three goals for the Gospel Message Radio program. Number one is to reach the lost. So we don't believe that radio is the only way to reach the lost or that it's the best way, but we believe it's one way that we can reach people that are not saved. And so we thank you for your support, for your prayers for that. The second goal is to teach the saved. So Jesus actually says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and then teach them what I have taught you. So not only should we be saved, we should be growing, we should be living our spiritual life. And so that's our second goal, is to teach the saved, to encourage them. I don't know how your life has been, but I know many people, when they're saved, that doesn't mean they know everything about a godly marriage or about raising godly children or about godly finances or whatever that is. But those topics need to be taught, and so that's our second goal. And our third goal is, in everything, to glorify Jesus Christ. So we have churches that support us. We have a church board. I'm the radio pastor. Those people are just servants. I am just a servant. It is to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Jesus says He will build His church. He will come back to get His church. And so whoever accepts Jesus Christ is part of that church. And so we praise Him for those things. We have about 70 to 80 radio stations that air the program weekly. From Bolivia, Belize, Argentina, Paraguay, Colombia, Mexico, the United States, Canada, Germany. I don't think I'm leaving any countries out, but we have a bunch of countries that air the radio stations. Some of them are exclusively Low German stations, so they'll sometimes air it more than once a week because finding Low German programming is hard for them. There's quite a bit of English programming. There's some High German programming that they can use. But for our Low German Mennonites to hear the gospel in their first language. So for all of you, you'll know when you hear something in your second language, yeah, you can kind of translate in your mind, but it doesn't pick up as quick. And so as a school teacher, when I have a student in my math class trying to learn math and his first language is Spanish, he struggles or she struggles. And so the gospel is the same way. And so that's our goal, is to reach those people. So we have those radio stations. We also have online things that we do. We send messages over Facebook. We have all our messages on YouTube. If you ever want to look for a message or what we're doing, you can just search the Gospel Message or Evangelische Botschaft. If you know how to spell that, let me know later. I'll be impressed. Or you can search my name. And you can look for any messages, past messages, and we put those on there. Again, not saying that that's the only way or the best way, but it actually doesn't cost us any money to do that. And so we have people that listen to that, and that is available there as well. We also have a website, gospelmessageradio.com. And so that's another place people can listen, find out a little bit about the program, and also give online. We're thankful to this church for supporting us, and we also are a listener-supported ministry. So again, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. I think sometimes as a church, you know, you have missions and you have different things, but you don't really know very much about them. And so I thought I'd share a little bit. I hope that's okay. So, Merry Christmas. We're almost till Christmas. And the title of my message today is The Greatest News Ever, told for the first time. I wonder if your thoughts are, when was the Christmas story told for the first time? When do you think? See, this story that's been told to thousands and millions of people over generations, was it in the Garden of Eden when God promised he would step on the head of the serpent and send his son? Was it when God promised Abraham that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed? Was it to the prophet Isaiah when he, being led by the Spirit, said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders"? I think the first time the Christmas story was actually told, Jesus was going to be born, and this was the time God would send his son, the news came to Mary, a young Jewish girl. The Christmas story, Jesus Christ being born, a Savior being sent, the news that would change that woman's life, that would change the world forever. And if you believe in Jesus, it can change your life forever. So I want to read a text today from Luke chapter 1 that tells this story. It's the story of the greatest news ever told to a humble Jewish girl, the Christmas story for the first time. But it's more than just that. It's a picture of how this girl, and in a way us as people in 2024, find grace in God's eyes. It gives us a picture of how this girl would have her life changed together by a miracle, changed forever by a miracle from the Holy Spirit. And how we can have our life changed forever by the miracle from God and the Holy Spirit in us. And then also the response in her life once she knew this miracle was to happen. And the response that should happen in our life when the miracle has happened in us, the miracle of new birth. One of the blessings that I have the opportunity to study the Bible is to go through simple stories in the Bible and see the picture of God's salvation. And my friends, it's always found through Jesus Christ, just as it is through this time. You can go to the Old Testament, the story of Abraham, the covenant of God. It's a picture of our salvation. God makes the covenant. We believe in the covenant. And it's counted for us for righteousness. You can look at the wedding of Cana, the miracle, the water to wine, the picture of the blood of Jesus Christ changing these dirty water pots from the inside. And so today, the news of the birth of Jesus Christ, the picture of salvation, the miracle of the virgin birth, and the miracle of your new birth. And the willingness of this young girl to give her life for God so that a Savior could be born. And essentially, that's what happens in your life when you accept Christ. The miracle of Jesus comes into your life. You are made new through the power of Him. I want to read this text, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. And we'll pray together. Maybe we'll have a time of kneeling so you can pray for the message. And then we'll go on. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So that's as far as we want to read today. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to pray with you, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. We thank you for that first Christmas, your son being born, coming down from heaven to this dirty, sinful world, to live his life, to live it in perfection, to teach us, to be an example for us, and to give his life on the cross. Heavenly Father, I pray for each listener this morning, each person that's come here this morning. You know their heart. You know how they are. You know if it's broken, if it's joyful. You know exactly where they're at. Maybe there's someone that came with a smile on their face, but their heart feels like it's broken in a million pieces. Lord, I ask that you would heal, that you would strengthen, you would encourage, that you would teach through your word. I pray that this message would be a message of spirit and of truth, that your spirit would work and the truth would be spoken. We want to give you all the honor and glory, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I also want to give you an opportunity to pray for the message or whatever's on your heart. So we want to take a short time here to go on our knees, whoever can do that. And just to pray whatever's on your heart, maybe pray for the message that God will speak to you. So let's go on our knees to pray. The Lord hears our prayers and is gracious to us.
Let's take our blue book and turn to number 84, Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Number 84, let's all stand.
Bending near the earth to touch their hearts.
Thank you for that singing. Singing is wonderful at Christmas time. I enjoy Christmas songs. There's a lot of them, and so maybe when you get together with family, you have that opportunity. So we just read this text from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, where the news is told to Mary. And just to set the scene so everybody kind of knows where we're at in history, there's approximately 400 years between the Old and New Testament. There's been no prophets during these 400 years, not official word from God. There's been many bloody wars, and right now, at this time, when Mary is told this news, Israel is in Roman captivity. They're paying high taxes, their businesses, their farms are not doing well. They're basically slaves in their own land. But there's some. There's a few that are still holding out hope for a Savior. Some still have that faith that God will send the Messiah. They're still waiting for their coming King. And so if we look at our text, Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, in the sixth month. Now that's not June, the sixth month of the year. It's actually talking about Elizabeth's pregnancy, the sixth month of her pregnancy. And the time is here. The Bible tells us that God always has a special time for His special plan for His special people. The Bible tells us there will come a time when Jesus will come again. Time is an important thing. We have time. We know when church starts. We kind of like to know when it ends a little bit. But God also has a special time. And I don't know if you've noticed in your life, God doesn't necessarily ask you about time. Sometimes He puts things in your life that you don't expect, that you haven't planned, and it's on His time. It's interesting for this young Jewish girl, Mary. This is a good time in life. She's engaged. She has a husband. They're going to get married. She's excited. It's a good time. And something happens in the blink of an eye. Her life is interrupted. Her life is changed forever. In a moment. It's interesting how God can sometimes interrupt our life when we think things are going good. Sometimes we have this thought, I'm doing okay, God, just leave me alone a little bit. Do you know that good is sometimes the enemy of spiritual? I'll say it again. Good is sometimes the enemy of spiritual. The good things we have, they're not bad, they're good. It can be our money, it can be our family, it can be the comforts we have. Sometimes that's the enemy of my spiritual growth or the enemy of God's plan. It was here. If you, in our own lives, sometimes, like before we're saved, we think, well, I'm good. I don't need a Savior. And then God sends a trial, a trouble. You go through a fire, and all of a sudden you realize, I can't do this on my own. See, the truth is, if you don't see your need for a Savior, you don't see you're lost. You can't be saved. Mary might have thought to herself, my life is good. But God was about to change her life, to turn it upside down, to change the world through this young woman. Look what the Bible says, verse 26 to 28. I'll read it again. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. This is Mary. Promised to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And in my Bible, in parentheses, it says, highly or graciously accepted of much grace. So this young girl who had things good in life was about to have her life changed forever. And it had to do with the grace of God. So we see this amazing thing. God has chosen Mary to be the mother of the Son of God, to give birth to Jesus, to raise Jesus, to have God's Son in her home. Can you imagine? Now, I ask myself this question. Was she special? Was she better than other women? The Bible basically says nothing about Mary until this point in her life, which tells me those things weren't important. The Bible actually calls this grace that she was chosen. The words in the King James Bible, "The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." It's grace. It's a gift that's undeserved. We don't know why we're getting it. We know we didn't deserve it. We know we can't earn it. And it comes from God. Sometimes we have this definition of grace: God's riches at Christ's expense. Have you heard that before? And it was exactly this way at this moment. God's riches, his only son, at Christ's expense, he came to this earth. Mary had done nothing to deserve this special honor that was for her to give the birth of God's son. We have groups of people today that think of Mary as this special person, that some even pray to her. And the Bible never teaches this. What made her special was that God would change her life through the Son of God living in her. And that's the way it is with salvation. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We just accept the free gift in faith. It's the grace of God. It's the presence of Jesus Christ in your life that changes you. Now, you have to make the decision to accept this, but never forget, it comes through the grace of God. It's his gift to you. It's free, and he has your name on that present. I want to talk about a few verses of grace, especially this Christmas time, because Christmas is about grace. If you turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 2, verse 11, we want to read a couple of verses there in Ephesians. Titus 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." I have it underlined here, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation." If you underline that part and you just put the word Jesus in there, Jesus hath appeared to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. That's Christmas there in one sentence. Salvation starts with the grace of God who has appeared to whom? To all men. It's your decision to accept it, but you have the opportunity to accept that. You don't have to be born to a special family, have gone to church when you were a child. Whatever your past is, Jesus can be your future if you accept him in faith. Ephesians 2, chapter 4. Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. It says this. Again, this is about Christmas, about the best news ever told. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, for when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." See, the truth is, you and I before salvation were not bad people or even good people. We were dead people. Spiritually, we had nothing. We needed the grace of God to change our life, to make us alive. This word "hath quickened us together" means made us alive, made us to be born again. That is grace. It's a gift to someone who has nothing. He doesn't deserve anything, but he finds favor. That's how God works. One more verse on grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Second Timothy 1, verse 9 says this: "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in" who? "Christ Jesus, before the world began." See, at Christmas, when we have many gifts, let's remember the greatest gift: the gift of salvation through grace. Just as we give our children gifts and we don't ask them to pay for them, we say, "This is for you." Not because they've been good or bad, but because they're our children and we love them. And that's why God actually gives gifts to us, because he wants us to be in his family, he wants us to be his children, and he loves us. So this grace, the angel tells Mary of this grace, God's grace is available to us. What's her response? Did she say, this is wonderful? My life is going to be so much better? Look at our text, verse 29. It says this, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She sees the angel, the messenger of God, who tells her, you found favor, you're blessed, you found grace in God's eyes, and she's troubled. She doesn't know what's happening. She's never had an experience like this before. Now, to be fair to Mary, none of us have had an experience like that before either, where an angel comes down from heaven and says, you will have a child from the Holy Spirit. She's troubled. The grace of God is sent to her, and this stirs her heart. The message of salvation is a little bit like that too. The first time you hear it, it kind of troubles your heart a little bit. It troubles you to understand and to actually realize that I'm lost. Without Jesus, I'm on the broad road. Where does the broad road lead? To hell. It's a troubling message. It's there to take away your comfort so you have peace in God. Sometimes, some of you maybe would be able to share a testimony of you were lost and you heard the message of salvation and all of a sudden you couldn't sleep. You thought about this message like, what about me? Am I saved? What's going to happen to me when I die? COVID was like that. This sickness that happened and people heard about that and young people like, am I going to die? What's going to happen? And it made them think. I often think not only when the gospel was shared to us were we troubled and we had to think these things through and what is this grace? What is this free gift? How can this be for me? How can God love me? But it's also, if we turn that picture 180 degrees around, when we share the message, we should also not be surprised when people are sometimes troubled. I think often as Christians, when we share the message, we think 100% success rate, everything's going to be great. But anybody that's ever done that knows that's not the way it works. Sometimes people are offended. Sometimes people are troubled. Sometimes people say, well, I can't sleep. Doesn't mean you did the wrong thing. It just means that person is thinking this through. What happened? What's going on? What about me? Where am I going to be in eternity? But the angel has a response to this. And I wish it would be our response when we witness to those that are lost, that are troubled at that message. Verse 30 to 33. The angel says, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The good news, the best news, told for the first time, now was the time Jesus was going to come. Someone had to tell the news. The angel told the news to who? This young girl, this young Jewish girl, Mary. See, at Christmas, Mary had to know what was going on, what was going to happen to her body. It's interesting, God does amazing things. He does miracles. And when we are in communication with him, when we're listening to him, he loves to tell us the news. There's a book in the Bible, it's called Revelation. That means God wants us to know. He's not sitting with the truth and saying, well, this is only for certain people. Or, well, I don't know if you can know this. He says, this is my word. This is for you. Read it. Pray about it. Listen to what the Spirit is teaching you. It's for you. So what was the news? The news was Jesus. Jesus was going to be born as a baby. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the King of Israel. Jesus, the King forever. It's the first time Mary had heard this news that Jesus would be born, and God himself sent a messenger personally. If I would ask you, do you remember the first time you heard the plan of salvation? What did it do in your heart? Did you believe it? Did you reject it? Were you curious about it? Most people don't believe the first time, which is why we need to keep telling them that news. But there's an obvious, simple truth here. You have to hear the news to believe the news. I'm going to say that again so we all get that. You have to hear the news to believe the news. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So for us as believers, this Christmas, we'll see a lot of people have family gatherings, be in contact with people. We've heard the news. Not only have we heard the news, hopefully we've accepted that news. And our heart is to share that with others. That's part of salvation, is wanting to tell people the news. See, when we're about to get married, we hand out cards to tell people that we're going to get married, so they're going to come. When we have a good crop, our business is doing well, we buy a different vehicle, we tell people because we like to brag a little bit. Have you told anyone about Jesus this last year? Have you told anyone during this Christmas time? So there's much talk on Christmas about gifts and weather and gatherings and holidays and sales and Santa and decorations and many other things. But the news that could change their lives is the news of Jesus. Now the angel has come with a salutation. Mary's heart has been troubled. The angel tells her, you'll bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus. Look at the response from Mary again in verse 34. So now she's not troubled anymore, but she has a question. Verse 34 of our text, Luke chapter 1. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can this happen? This is earthly, physically, biologically impossible. See, Mary understands how babies are born. She understands that it's earthly, physically, biologically impossible for her to have a baby. Never in the history of the world had a baby been born to a virgin girl. And it would never happen again. It was, we could call it a Christmas miracle. God coming down as flesh. Born of a woman who had known no man. But see, with God, our text tells us, all things are possible. Now, the Bible also says, without me, nothing is possible. But with God, all things are possible. In fact, God loves the impossible. Earthly salvation is like that as well. I should say spiritual salvation on this earth is like that as well. See, we know we're deep in our sins. We're dead in our sins. There's no way we could be good enough to balance our sins. No amount of money could pay for our sins. No one can save themselves. Maybe you've asked this question. How can I be saved? How is it that God loves me? How is it that God died for me? You don't know what I've done. How could he forgive my sins? How could I be forgiven? Salvation is impossible for us as humans without the power of God. But it's exactly why we have Christmas. It's exactly why Jesus came to earth, born of Mary, a woman who had never known a man. This baby she was about to have was the Savior of the world. He made the impossible possible. He is why we have people who repent and believe and are saved and have eternal life. He's why we have baptisms. Young people confess their faith. I told you before, I work in a high school, and I work with young people and their lives and their homes and what they see on media. It should be impossible for a young person like that to be saved, but it isn't. There's people that come to Jesus Christ because they know they're lost, they find grace in God, and they accept his free plan of salvation. Mary had this question, how can the impossible be possible? Maybe you're sitting here today and thinking, I've never had my life changed through the miracle of God. I want to tell you, my friend, God loves you, and he wants to change your life. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to make you new. He wants to prepare a place for you. Look at the answer the angel gives. How is the impossible possible? Verse 35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So how is the impossible possible? It's possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at the picture the angel gives Mary. The power of the Holy Ghost will come into you. The shadow of God will be over you. Now, you all understand the concept of a shadow, right? Like, I can't give a shadow to somebody that's at the back of that church or to somebody that's in Morden or somebody that's in Texas. They got to be, like, right beside me. My shadow's right here. That's what God wants to do to you. He wants to be right beside you, giving you his Holy Spirit, changing your life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that changes us, where the miracle happens. This Jesus, who God calls Emmanuel, which means God with us, would be born of Mary because the Spirit of God would come into her life. And that's how salvation is for us. We were lost. The Holy Spirit starts working in our hearts, convicting us of sin, showing us that we're lost, that we need a Savior. Salvation is the decision we make in faith to Jesus Christ. We repent of our sins, we're born again, and God's Spirit lives in us. The Bible says of the Spirit of God, he's our comforter. He's our teacher. He's our guide. He's our helper. He's our leader in all things. He's the seal of our salvation. That's how we know we're saved. Because the Spirit lives inside us. He changes our lives. Look what it says. The holy thing shall be born of God, shall be called the Son of God. You know what, my friend? When you're born of God, what does the Bible call you? A child of God. You're in his family. And for the children here, like, none of the children are confused about who their parents are. They all know. They all know who they're going with. They know where they sleep. They know who mom and dad are. It's one of the special things God has created. And that's how sure you can be of your salvation, that you know who your Heavenly Father is. You're in his family. For every Christian, our comfort today is, our joy today is that Christmas can be in our hearts. See, this world has plenty of trials, troubles, sicknesses, rumors of wars and wars, and broken hearts. But God's Spirit is with us. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. When we repent of our sins, the Bible says God forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And the new birth happens. It's the miracle. It's what should be impossible is possible. What was dead is now alive. A new creature has been created, the Bible says. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. How? This text tells us the power of God's Spirit. And then look at what the angel says to Mary to help her believe. And it's an amazing concept. It's one we can actually use when we tell the good news to others. Verse 36 and 37. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. One of the things that convinces people that salvation changes lives is when you can share your testimony of how it's changed your life. Here God says to Mary, well, look at your cousin Elizabeth. Her life has been changed. She's going to have a son. She's too old to have a son. But she's going to have a son. I think of in prison, we go to prison quite often. We do prison ministry. I preach there some, and we do some Bible studies and different things. One of the biggest encouragements to prisoners is when they see somebody that's been in prison, has accepted Christ, is let go, set free, lives for Christ, and comes back and shares the testimony. Because they can see God has changed that person's life. And if it's possible for him, it could be possible for me. It's one of the powers of salvation to this world, a salt in this world, to make a difference, to love, to care, to be kind, to forgive, to be different. When we share the gospel, what can be an encouragement for people to believe is the testimony of others that are saved and how their life has been changed. Doesn't mean that person's life is perfect. In fact, sometimes it's good to share our own failures and fears and things we don't have altogether. But that means that person's life has been changed by the power of God. That's what the angel actually shares here with Mary. Your cousin, who's too old to have a baby, now has a baby. I want to encourage you this Christmas, keep telling people about what God is doing in your life. Keep asking people, what is God doing in their life? If I would ask you, what is God doing in your life, would that be an uncomfortable question for you? Would you have an answer? Maybe we should ask each other more questions like that, to challenge each other, to encourage each other. Make your life about the kingdom of God and what God is doing in this world. So after all this, finding grace with God, hearing the truth of salvation, wanting to know how it's possible, knowing it's just possible through the Spirit of God, the evidence of God's power through miracles and others, look at Mary's answer, verse 38. And I wish this was our response as Christians. Verse 38, Mary says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, the servant of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. So as a Christian, what is my response when I am saved? Sometimes we ask ourselves this question, why am I still here? Why doesn't God take me to heaven instantly? I hope this Christmas we can share this sentence and say this sentence like Mary says, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, behold the servant of the Lord." Whatever you say, whatever your word says, that's what I want to do. I'm here to serve. See, salvation isn't the goal that means we're finished with our Christian life. It's the start of our Christian life. It's not that we've attained a certain place spiritually, but that God is still working in our lives. I believe probably everyone is at a different place spiritually today in this church. I wish everyone could say, "I've been saved." But if you haven't, today is the opportunity. But if you have been saved, are you serving? The real Christian life begins with serving Christ. Jesus was the perfect example in his life. He says, I have not come here to be served, but to serve and give my life. He was there for the sick, the lame, the leper. He said, "What you've done for the least of these, my brethren, you've done for me." Jesus talks about the end of the world, separating the sheep and the goats, the Christians and the world. What does he talk about? Service. He says, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting those that are in prison. What are those? Serving. Jesus says, when you give a child a cup of cold water, you will be rewarded. What is that? That's serving. In the month of January on the gospel message, I want to do some messages on serving. And I mean this with my heart. If you have a powerless, sick Christian life, start serving God. There's nothing that changes your life as a Christian as much as service. Now, you need to read your Bible, you need to pray, but can I encourage you with this? If you go on your knees today and say, God, where can I serve? Who can I serve? You know that's a prayer God answers 100% of the time. You'll be amazed. It'll be incredible. You got to be ready to serve. And generally, the people that God sends for you to serve aren't the people you picked. And sometimes they're the people you would not have picked. Are you ready to serve the least? Pray for your enemy. Love those that persecute you. It's what the Bible calls, it's what Jesus calls you to do. All the people that I know that have vibrant Christian lives, and I'm not putting them on a pedestal, not saying they're better, they have their own weaknesses and their own, they are alive in service to God. They're looking for places to share the gospel. They're wanting to serve others. They're humble in that. And it blesses them. That's the thing that the world doesn't get. The world says it's about me, serve me, I'm going to think about me. And we have more depression, anxiety, suicides than ever before. The Bible says, love your enemy, pray for them that persecute you, think of others as higher than yourself, give and it shall be given to you. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I'd encourage you, serving Jesus changes your life. Look what Mary says, be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever you want, God, I'm willing to do it. There's no line I'm not willing to cross. There's no place I'm not willing to go. There are no words I'm not willing to say. You can use my body how you want. That's what Mary actually had to say right then. I'm yours. That's the servant. I want to give you a couple of verses from Psalm chapter 37, which kind of talk about service and what happens in our life and what God does in our life when we serve and we commit our ways to God. Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5 says this, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. See, if you have your joy in Jesus, he's going to make it happen. If you have a joy in serving, and of course, service should come with joy. You're doing your service half-heartedly. I got to be here. People should be able to help themselves. Doesn't bring the joy. With your whole heart, delight yourselves in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Often we say this, God, when you give me the desires of my heart, then I will serve. And we've got it backwards. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added to you. Commit your way to the Lord. The commitment that it takes to serve. It's going to cost you something. It's going to come at a time when you think, this is my busiest time. It's going to be something where you think, this is really not for me. I've never done this before. I don't know if this is my gift. Are you willing to try? Are you willing to put yourself out there for Christ? Let's go back to the story of Mary. After she says this, she believes the angel. She accepts God's grace. The Spirit of the Lord comes over her, and she has this song of praise. I won't read the song of praise. It's further in the Bible here. But that would be my goal, my wish for you this Christmas, that you would have that song of praise in your heart that comes from Jesus coming into your life and changing you. See, this first Christmas, the first time the news was told, to marry this simple young girl, engaged to Joseph. It had her life, it turned it upside down. And yet she is willing to give her all to God because the Spirit comes into her and Jesus came down from earth. These verses, verse 31 to 33, this is what the angel said. This is the message of Christmas. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Praise the Lord. I want to read in closing a poem. It's called The Indescribable Christ. I don't know if I've read it here before. It's written by Dr. S.M. Lockridge. It's fairly lengthy, but it's probably the best piece of literature that I know outside the Bible to praise God. Maybe you can just sit back, listen, and remember how great your God is. The Indescribable Christ. It says, "The Bible says my king is a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know him?" David said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely steadfast. He's eternally sincere. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomena that's ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's the sinner savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's august and he's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity for spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the age. He is. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him." He's the only one qualified to be the all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent and beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. Well, my king, he is the king. He's the key to knowledge. He is the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. Yes, he is. He is God. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off your hand. You can't live without him. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. The grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. That's my king. Yes, and thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And how long is that? And ever and ever. And when you thought through of all the forevers, then, amen. Let's bow our heads for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the greatness of your Son, Jesus Christ, the plan of salvation. We thank you that you still save souls today. You still change people's hearts and lives. Heavenly Father, if there's anyone today listening in this message that has never accepted you, Lord, help them to, through your love, through the drawing of your Spirit, to make that best decision ever for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you also for those of us that are saved, that are in your family today. In humbleness, we come to you and we know that it's through your grace, it's not through anything we have done. Give us power to serve you. Give us boldness to share the news. Help us this Christmas to have the joy of Jesus inside of us. Thank you for each person that's come. Bless them and keep them. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. We're also going to have a silent time of prayer again on bended knees where possible. So let's go on our knees for a silent prayer. The Lord hears our prayers and he is gracious to us.
From the Blue Book, number 92, Angels from the Realm of Glory. Number 92.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother West, for bringing us this wonderful message this morning. Thank you for coming out from all the way from Texas. Also, thank you for the song leaders for leading us in singing, and pianists and organists. And thank you for the prelude this morning as we walked in. It was very beautiful. Thank you. Just a few announcements, just some dates to remember. The Sunday school teacher meeting, January 7th, and Sunday school will resume on January 5th, and then potluck, which is on the last Sunday of the month, it will be on for this month, at the end of the last Sunday of this month. And then also, adult Bible study will resume January 8th. And then there's a message or a note here. A young couple with two children is in need of a ride to Sunday morning services. If you're able to help them, please contact. And then Deacon Jake Bickert and myself, and our phone numbers are in there. So if you're willing or able to, or if you know of somebody who is willing to give this family a ride on a Sunday morning, please let Jake or myself know. And then also, if you haven't checked your mailboxes in the back, there is some of them, they're looking quite full, so check the mailboxes for cards. And then also, in the back of the bulletin, let's keep these people in our prayers for the coming week, for this young man who is struggling, and also for this young couple who is having marriage problems. Let's keep them in our prayers. And on behalf of Susanna and myself, I would like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. And thank you for coming this morning.
Thank you for those announcements. And also, thank you to Brother Wes for allowing the Lord to speak through him, being the servant of God. And now it's up to each one of us to carry that news out to others. And it's sometimes, you know, we can talk about to the next person about the weather, we can talk about different things, but when it comes to the Lord, we sometimes feel a little uncomfortable. But then you're halfway there already, over halfway there, because when we feel uncomfortable, that's when we realize that we rely on God to speak to that individual. It's not us speaking to them, it's God speaking through us. Be that servant. Be willing to be that servant. That's a challenge for all of us. And it's a good time to do that during the Christmas season. Thank you to each one of you for coming this morning as well, for singing with the singing. Thank you, song leaders, for leading us in singing and also for the playing. Thank you. And on behalf of Sandra and myself, I would like to wish you all a Merry Christmas as well. And remember, carry on the good news. If you feel uncomfortable, then you realize God's going to work through you. It's not from our news, it's God working through us. Let's unite our hearts for the benediction. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. May the Lord protect thy coming in and thy going out from this day forth and forevermore. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. Thank you for coming.